Let me introduce to the studio two guest critics who will be accompanying me on this hour. We have Luke Goodsell here in Sydney with me, whose work you can read at The Monthly and also ABC Arts Online. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Jason.
And we've also got Philippa Hawker in Melbourne, whose work you can read at The Australian. Good morning, Philippa.
Good morning, Jason and Luke.
Now,
good morning, Philippa.
First of all, the year in film, 2018. Let's do a bit of a roundup. And I'm wondering how both of you see the year in film, because I think there are a couple of trends that I'd like to just name first of all. And one is at the sort of big end of town and at the sort of Hollywood end of studio filmmaking. And that is the Disney takeover of Fox, which is set to finalize in 2019. So you've got this emblematic sort of shift, which represents, I guess, an ongoing shift in Hollywood to big branded entertainment. On the other side of the ledger, you've got some smaller films starting to emerge on Netflix. I'm thinking of a film like Alfonso Cuarón's Roma, which is out in cinemas at the moment. Netflix have actually put it out in cinemas. It has a lot of Oscar buzz around it. It was voted the best film of 2018 by the Sight and Sound critics polls. And I don't want to overstate this, but I'm just thinking at the other end, you've got Netflix's slate starting to become what the slate of the mini majors or the smaller independent studios used to look like. And so I'm wondering, in this era of the disappearing middle, are we seeing some hope? Is there some light at the end of the tunnel with what Netflix is doing with filmmakers like Scorsese, Cuaron, the Coen brothers, of course, too? Philippa, what are you thinking?
Well, I guess I'd like to be optimistic about it, but I mean, maybe there are some things that will, you know, come out of this sort of Netflix willingness to engage with some interesting films. But I do worry about just how much of a monopoly they'll have and what new content they'll create, and also how they'll get it out to us. And you know, that's a concern to me. Of course, Disney also has a streaming service coming out too, doesn't it? That's another thing.
They've yeah.
That's another aspect by which they're going to rule the world. But yeah, I think, I know Netflix, cautious optimism, kind of pessimism as well for me.
But of course, when we're talking about what Netflix have currently done, I mean, they're not exactly reinventing the wheel with the sorts of filmmakers they're really pushing. I mean, those ones that they're pushing most are people who are very well known.
Yes.
And who are known entities. I mean, Scorsese, they've poured something like $170 million into The Irishman, which is his next film. I mean, you know, it's not as if they're necessarily ploughing money into the sort of indie films that the smaller studios or the independents in the 80s and 90s
They didn't take Paul Schrader's First Reformed, for example, which is obviously not, I mean, who's someone, you know, like an existing, you know, I mean, a well-known name, but someone who had a much smaller project that they weren't interested in.
I think there was a sense a couple of years ago where maybe there was an optimism about it because suddenly they were giving directors like Bong Joon-ho lots of money to go off and do whatever he wanted. And it was a feeling that perhaps they were funding more original films that had sort of disappeared from the cinema. And now I think they've had a very rocky year. I mean, there's been some real, you know, like Duncan Jones's Mute, which was terribly received and is also not very good.
Right.
And so they've had this kind of very mixed year where, and there's not really a sense of occasion with any of the Netflix releases at the moment. So they kind of just dumped them. Even the Coen brothers' recent film was kind of...
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Immediately appeared just, you know, in the great sea of sort of middling content that was swimming around on Netflix. So I think they have... To some extent, they seem to have become a bit lazy and indiscriminate. And as you say, Jason, they're going for sure things like Scorsese.
Well, who knows if Scorsese is a sure thing, but certainly I think the cast of The Irishman is a sure thing for box office.
Well, there was
a thing
where, you know, there's films like the guy who made Watch, the zombie movie with Joel Edgerton and Will Smith, where it was like, you know, by all reports, I didn't see it, but by all reports, it was terrible. But Netflix had worked out this algorithm where they knew that certain people were looking for sci-fi and action, and that's what they search, and that comes up. So they sort of get eyeballs on it that way.
It's interesting looking at Disney when this takeover is finalized. I mean, they're going to rule the world. Obviously, they're going to have Star Wars, they're going to have Marvel, they're going to have Pixar, and they're going to have the big Fox properties like Avatar and X-Men and The Simpsons. I just wonder if maybe Netflix, in the end, their end game is just probably rival them.
Yeah.
The disappearing middle, therefore, remains this problem that's been, I guess, plaguing us since at least the 90s, where you've got a lack of sort of middle-sized films coming out of America anyway, and perhaps it's also affecting places like Europe. I mean, I think we're still getting great films being made in Asia and being made via the kinds of alternative funding programs like the Hubert Bulls Fund and so forth, which is connected to Rotterdam, the Rotterdam Film Festival. What's your thinking of, you know, cinema globally, Luke? Do you think it's, you know, that when we're sort of pulling our hair out and worrying about the fate of cinema, are we really just talking about American cinema? And is cinema elsewhere actually?
I mean, much of the discourse is always America-centric because, you know, as we all know, that's the center of the world. but yeah, I think there is a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of blinkered thinking to that extent. But there is, I think, a healthy global cinema, and you see that at festivals. I mean, there's a great variety of titles and, you know, different filmmakers making things that aren't, you know, commonly available.
Yeah.
But what you do here, though, is there are disappearing places to see these films. That's another problem. Mm. And you certainly hear that complaint or that concern, is that that there are just fewer places that will screen independent cinema.
Yeah.
And that's a global
problem. Outside of a festival.
Well, yeah. the festival circuit, though, has really mushroomed as well. So that's kind of balancing the ledger in some ways, but they are very limited events that are of limited duration, at least. And so it's not quite the same as, you know, smaller films being on regular commercial release.
Well, the festival release almost equals a theatrical release for some films in Australia.
Given that you've got
a lot of, like, Palace Film Festivals that tour around the country, and you end up getting more screenings than perhaps a smaller film would get on its own.
Sure, and some smaller films, that's where they make their money.
Yeah,
purely at something like the French Film Festival or the Jewish Film Festival and so forth.